Okay, so we are continuing our conversations of Geula, taken from some of at this point Rav Amital Sichot, and I'm not going to talk about a particular Sicha, but about an orientation that Rav Amital set for us repeatedly, and it's unfortunately, very unfortunately, something I need to speak about this morning in particular. After all the joy and the jubilation of Yom HaZikaron, which has a lot of pride to it, and certainly Yom HaZmut, last night, unfortunately, there was a very, very tragic terror incident in a city called Elad. And I didn't get a chance to check the news yet, but 3 people were killed and 4 people were injured. And even the people who were injured, very, very serious, and in just a grisly fashion on Yom HaZmut. So how do you jive? How do you distill the two emotions? Because we're still exhilarating in the glow of Yom HaZmut, and then suddenly this tragic occurs. So unfortunately, we had many times throughout our Yom HaZmut the challenge to, as the Vamital would say, b'shas chedvasa chedvasa, b'shas evil evil. I'll tell you where you first heard that. Very interesting story. But I wasn't here after the withdrawal from Yamid, and no one's comparing situations. Obviously, each situation is different. But in Yamid, in the early 80s and late 70s, when we withdrew from Yamid, that was very, very traumatic. This is the first time that the Israeli population was forced to withdraw from some of the land that we had been waiting for thousands of years. And then in the early 80s, during the Tfilul Shlom HaGalil, the Lebanon War, as we kept getting reports back from the front, and unfortunately some of the boys from Yeshiva didn't make it back. And then during the Intifada, very difficult time during the Intifada, especially in the early 2000s when we were celebrating Yom HaZmut. So Rav Amital will tell us the following story. In 1974, he married off his daughter. And this is right after the Yom Kippur War. The Yom Kippur War was traumatic for Rav Amital at a certain point. Can you imagine just going from grave to grave, from hospital bed to hospital bed, visiting your Talmidim? As Rav Lichtenstein said about Rav Amital, in his hesped for Rav Amital invented the concept of a Rosh Hashiva living with loss and shchol, because he lived it so deeply in his neshama. It wasn't just a visit and nicham aveilim. He bore the scars of those 8 boys who died or were killed in his neshama. At some point, he gave the keys to Rav Amital. He said, "I can't run the yeshiva anymore. You take over the yeshiva. I'm out." And for a while, he really did withdraw from running the yeshiva. And I saw in later parts of his life how deeply he felt when one of the boys was killed, and even in an army accident, but how deeply he wore that trauma. So at his daughter's wedding in 1974, he couldn't imagine dancing, and he said he really didn't dance. But Tzvi Tal, who just passed away, I think, within the last year, was a Supreme Court judge, a very, very important person. He would come here to Davin and Yom Kippur. The reason he would come here to Davin and Yom Kippur is because his son Moshe Tal, Zichron Levracha, was one of the 8 boys who were killed coming from this base medrash on Yom Kippur in 1973. So Tzvi Tal went over to Rav Amital a year after his own son was killed at Rav Amital's daughter's wedding, and he said, "B'shas chedvasa, chedvasa, b'shas evil, evil." The Jews sometimes are forced to, everyone is forced to confront a collage of different emotions, and there's a time for celebration, there's a time for mourning, and you shouldn't limit one because of the other. And sometimes the two overlap, and there is an overlap this weekend. And I want you to continue thinking about Yom HaZmut, especially B'nai Chutzlaretz, because this is such a different Yom HaZmut for you than it would be in America, but also not avoid the tragedy of what we just experienced. Now, just to help you understand that tragedy a little bit, so two psukim, and then some comments. Pasuk number 1 is taken from Kuf Aleph, and it's a medrash in Tehillim. David Mizmar Chesed Mishpat Ashira Lacha Hashem Azamera. So there's a duality both in the beginning of the pasuk and in the end of the pasuk. Chesed or mishpat, it's actually not a duality, but it's a dichotomy. Chesed seems a little bit dissonant from mishpat. Chesed and mishpat, ashira, l'cha Hashem asamera. So the Medrash says, if you provide chesed for me, I'll praise you. If you provide mishpat for me, I'll praise you also. So we've grown accustomed to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu only for the chesed. You have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when you suffer things you don't understand. It's hard to understand Why right in the middle of Yom HaSavut? Any terrorist, any tragedy, any loss of life. But it doesn't mean you have to stop thanking Hashem both for the chesed and k'shem shemivarchem al ha'tov kach mivarchem al ha'ra. So, l'chadav mizma chesed mishpat ashira l'cha Hashem azamera. Another pasuk Rav Amitai would quote to us, this one, Pehei. In Tehillim, shh, Yoni, shh. In Tehillim, Pehei, it's Avi. In Tehillim, Pehei, l'amasech l'vekarach mizmar. Ratzisa Hashem artzecha, shavta shavos Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you brought us home. Nasasa avaramecha, you've carried our sins. Kisisa kol chatasim sali, you've covered up all of our pockmarks. Asafta kalav rasecha, you've withdrawn all your anger. For 2,000 years, Hashem was angry with us. Heshivosim mechron apecha, you've returned from your fury and your rage against us. So this is a glorious sukkah. You've taken us home, you've covered your anger, we're no longer embarrassed, and we're still davening. Pasikei, shuveinu lokei yishuveinu bafer kaschei mano, Hashem, take us back and rescind your anger. Haliolim tanaf bano, will you always be angry with us? Timshach abchala dor v'dor, will you continue with your rage? Haloata tashuv t'chayenu, make us live. V'amcha yismichuvach. So this is a very, very disjointed parak. Sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us, and then we're asking not to be angry with us anymore. Even after we're redeemed, it's not a complete change. It's not as if all of a sudden the world has welcomed us with open arms. We have the Beis HaMikdash. We're living in a state of tranquility. Anti-Semitism continues. In some ways, you could say it even gets worse with the state of Israel. It's hard to imagine anything worse than the Holocaust in terms of sheer numbers and butchery and savagery. But in terms of the world's hostility towards Jews, everyone thought that with the formation of the state of Israel, anti-Semitism would recede, would vanish. And unfortunately, in some ways, it's growing or it's morphing, it's metastasizing into different forms. So even after the first part of Tehillim Pei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hafer Kasva, even then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halilim Tenef Mano. Doesn't mean we have to stop davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are just some of the psukim Rav Amitai would share with us after Yamid, during the Lebanon War, during times of crisis, and it also help us get perspective on it. I want to give you two ideas of perspective. Again, you have to be careful that perspective doesn't in any way dampen tragedy and sadness, right? There are people today in Elad whose lives have been crushed, families who lost their parents, families who lost their children. But unfortunately, terror like this has happened throughout our history, and especially during this period of the year, because this is a period in which a lot of the terror that's been fueled in this country was fueled by the Ramadan. So most Ashkenazi Jews never heard of Ramadan before they came to Israel, but they did hear something similar, and that was Easter. And just like Ramadan fuels religious passions and religious-based hatred and religious-based incitement, so for hundreds of years, Jews were facing a structurally similar experience during this month. Jews were facing the Easter fomented violence and hatred towards the Jews. The difference is that the day after, today, we are going to apprehend. Today, tomorrow, the next day, we're going to apprehend these perpetrators. We're going to take measures. Hopefully, some of the measures will be effective. Obviously, until Mashiach comes, none of the measures will be complete. But we want to take whatever measures we can. Mm-hmm. And Jews today in Israel will be safe, as safe as we can. But because we're going to increase our presence, we're going to increase soldiers, increase police force. This never happened in history. In history, the day after a terror incident, was just another terror incident. And you weren't just recovering from your wounds, but you were fearing the next one. There was no way to prevent it. So it's not like we have an airtight hermetic seal in our country right now, but at least we're able to send our police force and send our army and apprehend the evildoer, and apprehend the criminals and bring them to justice. And so it doesn't mean in any way to reduce the tragedy and the trauma. The second thing I was thinking of is as follows. Every year between Pesach and Yom HaTzmut, I suffer what I call transformation syndrome. What's transformation syndrome? Because for Pesach, I feel that I'm a part of one population. And then for Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim, I feel like I'm part of another population. Because who do we celebrate Pesach with predominantly? Of course, the whole country. But okay, the whole country makes a Seder, keeps a more or less Hilchos Chameis Baruch Hashem in this country. But the Dikduke Halachos, the Tfilos, the Sfirsa, more or less you feel that we're in lockstep with the Haredi world, right? We're keeping Pesach, we're about the Chametz, we're careful. You feel there's a dissonance. You walk around over Chol HaMoed, you look at non-firm Jews, obviously Baruch Hashem, but you feel like you're in a different place. You're sitting there and you're keeping every dikduk of Halacha. And non-firm Jews and Eretz Yisrael, secular Jews, again, they have a taste in the time of Pesach, but you feel, and then all of a sudden Pesach ends, and for the next month, our experiences are going to be much more similar to secular Jews who celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, who celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, and Haredim, unfortunately, do not. And yesterday was a real dissonant day between Dati Lumi people and Haredim. Again, not it's not a day of anger, not a day of antagonism, but it's a day in which everyone goes their own way, and hopefully in a respectful way, not in a way that's in any way disparaging, but each go your own way. And somehow, over the last month, there's been a reminder that we're really in the same boat, and we just have different views of where that boat is heading. And terror can attack in the Shtachim, and terror can attack in Bnei Brak, and terror can attack in Dati Lumi or secular society, and it can attack Elad, the community last night where the terror happened. It's a very densely Haredi populated area. And hopefully, we'll have no more terror. And hopefully, the direction that our country has taken will remind all types of Yidden, and especially Bnei Torah, people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Vodei Obdei Hashem. And hopefully Hashem will give everyone the lenses to see Gula. It's not easy to see Gula. And we feel like we're the pioneers in this area. Doesn't mean we're the only people who are of the Hashem, but in this area we feel we have lenses to see parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gula. There may be other people who are Talmidei Chachamim and of the Hashem, and for whatever reason they don't have the lenses. So hopefully when we say Hallel, we'll say Hallel on the part of everyone else. And now today we're mourning, and hopefully we'll mourn along with everyone else. So these are two things that hit me last night, just to walk away with some degree of perspective of the trauma. Okay? So everyone have a meaningful Shabbos. Mm-hmm.